Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I could get lost in a world of Star Wars right about now. maybe I'll have some time for that over my four-day weekend. I am really looking forward to it. But you know what? The weekend started a little early. Wait until I tell you about my, it was a 25-minute experience. That was it. It wasn't so relaxing, but it was something I haven't done in 6 months. So I was happy about it. It was worth it. So I'll tell you and share that with you coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I promise I haven't mailed it in, even though I tried to start my long weekend a little bit early. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know a lot of my female colleagues, some that I know, some that I don't know personally, only know via social media. There's been a lot of traffic and reaction to the report about Washington's football team, the report about 15 former employees coming forward to say that the culture, the workplace atmosphere was detrimental, not just to their development, but also to their mental health, and that it was rife with harassment, some of it being sexual harassment, and that for a time they didn't feel like they had any place they could go with their complaints and their accusations. And honestly, sometimes that was the worst part for me. It was bad enough to be harassed, but more often than not, it made me angry and indignant. The problem for me always was, who am I going to tell? Especially if it's my boss or a manager, who am I going to tell? That was the part that was so frustrating for me. There was only one time in my career that I've ever felt like I was in danger from someone who was harassing me. I won't give you all of the details, only to say that a man at my previous network followed me out into a parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was getting off of work. And it was the only time when I felt that adrenaline fight or flight, you know, that instinct that kicks in. The only time that I felt like I had to breathe, get into my car. You know, there's nobody else around at 3 o'clock in the morning, get into my car, lock my car, speak to him quickly, and then just bust the heck out of there. But even then, it was someone who not only was very recognizable, but that I had to work with on a regular basis. And so I had to be careful. I felt like I had to be careful what I said. I couldn't just start screaming my head off. And then again, who do you run to? So it wasn't so much that I was ever afraid for my safety, except that one time. I'm a tall woman. I don't get harassed much by little peon cowardly men. I don't ever feel like I'm much in danger. Plus I carry mace. But I felt helpless when it would happen and I had no recourse. there was literally nothing I could do about it within the context of work. And I had to make a choice. And again, I'm not telling you I made the right choice. I'm not saying that I would recommend that every other young woman do it this way. In fact, I probably wouldn't. But at the time that I was coming up in my career, the time that it was happening to me 15 years ago, 10 years ago, in those moments, I had to choose, or I felt like I had to choose based on my experience. Do I want my career to continue unimpeded? Do I want my job? Do I want to keep my job? I mean, I had been fired twice by this point for less, for nothing, as a matter of fact. So I was always afraid to give my bosses any reason to just drop me from a rotation or fire me. They didn't need a reason. But women who complained, at least when I was coming up through the ranks, they were considered problems. We'll just get rid of the problem. As opposed to fixing the culture, we'll just get rid of the problem. And so the part that was always hardest for me was not feeling like I had anyone that I could talk to that could actually do something about it. So again, I chose to talk to my mom, vent to friends of mine. Every now and then you'd find another female in the business, and there weren't a lot of us, but at my previous network, there were one or two that had very similar stories to mine who I trusted. You had to be really careful who you talk to, because sometimes those people that you spoke to would turn around and would take that somewhere, and it could very well come back at you in a form of retaliation. So you had to be really careful. But there were a couple of women that I spoke to that we knew that we could share our stories, and we warned each other. Be careful of that guy. Oh yeah, that guy said the same thing to me. Hey, watch out for him. This is the way he talks to people. And honestly, I don't want to tell you that. Again, I've already admitted that there are times I wished that I'd handled differently. But it's also hard because as a young woman, I worry about this with my nieces. When a successful, powerful man that you admire is flattering you or flirting with you, sometimes it's confusing as a young woman too. Because I'll just admit that there were times when I wasn't exactly sure what was happening. And so it's a difficult thing to navigate. But what I've come to understand is most of what I heard from people wasn't in any way respectful. It was meant to drag me down. It was meant to put me down. It was meant to imply, or it was just flat out stated, that the reason I had my job is because I was young and attractive and because I was a female, not because of what I brought to the table with my work ethic, with my intelligence, with my knowledge, with my desire and my determination to make it in this business, with my passion for the job. And that can be discouraging. It can certainly be devastating for a young woman to realize or to come to the recognition that she's not actually being valued for what she brings to the table. She's being valued for other things. And I wish I could tell you that it didn't happen anymore, but come on. It doesn't happen as much in radio because it doesn't matter what I look like to a point, right? So I don't have to be on a TV camera every day. But none of us who watch sports TV can ignore the fact that you very rarely see women who are, what, over 40? Probably over 30? Isn't there a young, blonde, beautiful TV anchor, sports anchor, seemingly every other month? There's someone new? I mean, there's still a double standard. It is one of the reasons I will never do TV full time. I do not ever want to have a job for what I look like. I wrote a blog post a few years ago. I called it Role Model, Not Supermodel. Looks fade. That's not why I want the job that I have. And so radio is one of those where you can't fake it. It doesn't matter if you're Miss America. Doesn't matter if you're Miss Universe. If you don't know what the hell you're talking about, you're not going to survive. And so for me, it was a conscious choice that I never wanted to be I never wanted to be considered for my looks first. I wanted to be someone who was valued for the other qualities that I brought to the table. Do I care about what I look like? Sure. Do I need that to be a requirement for employment? Nah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Washington Redskins report, it strikes a chord. It conjures up emotions. And I am proud of these women who are coming forward. But I don't think we should overlook the fact that most of them are anonymous. Most of them more than likely fear the backlash. People ask me all the time, why don't you go forward with your story? Well, I mean, I do. I'm telling my story now. Will I ever name names? Absolutely not. I don't want to be dragged into the center of that. I don't want to be the center of attention. I'm past it. I'm bigger than that now. And it's not necessary for me to finger the people who did it. But if you listen to me on a regular basis, you'll hear my stories every now and then. You'll hear me drop them in. My stories about what it was like to be in a locker room in a clubhouse and to face sexual harassment back when it was still considered foreign territory. Women not supposed to be in here. This is our clubhouse. This is our locker room. Now, the majority of athletes that I have worked with, they did not treat me that way. But there were always some. You know, it's interesting. I've had this conversation with some younger athletes. So guys who are in their, let's say, 20s, mid-20s. I always appreciate the fact that they do not treat me differently. And you want to know why? Because they grew up in a culture where that kind of stuff was not allowed. You knew, even if you didn't feel a particular way, that you had to treat women respectfully or your job was on the line. I would say my younger colleagues, they may not like me, which is fine, but they definitely don't treat me any differently because I'm a female. They know better. They recognize that's the wrong thing to do in a corporate workplace. It wasn't always that way, but I do appreciate at least that much has changed. Now, it may be a culture of fear where you know that if you do it, you could lose your job. It's like these athletes, that they know you can't harass a woman in a locker room. You can't make inappropriate comments to a woman in a locker room. Why? Because they've grown up in a culture where there's always a camera phone. There's always a microphone. There's always somebody who's willing to put it on social media. And so that part I can definitely tell is changing. The athletes themselves, especially the younger ones, they wouldn't dare now because they know. They know that someone's always watching. It wasn't always that way. So I can sit here in this chair now and tell you things have changed. The corporate workplace has changed. Like I said, when I first started at CBS Sports Radio, I had a problem with a colleague who was saying a word that I couldn't stomach, a really offensive word in the newsroom. And I spoke to him multiple times. Hey, man, can you please stop using that word? Please. Can you please stop saying that word? I don't care if you use the F word. I don't care what other word you use. Please stop using that word. But he didn't really like me, so he would use it anyway within earshot. I asked for months. He wouldn't stop. I finally went to the boss and said, boss, can I wear headphones in the newsroom? Because some of the stuff that's going on in there, I don't want to hear it. I shouldn't have to hear it as a female in this business. Now, he made me tell him who it was, and they filed an official report with HR. You want to know why? Because my boss's ass would be on the line if he didn't report it to HR. That's the kind of culture that's changed. That's the workplace culture that has to be established everywhere, where HR needs to get involved, and HR fights for its employees. And I don't just mean females. I mean those who are discriminated for any reason, whether their sexual preference, whether their religion, whether their skin color. Employees who are not treated fairly need to know they have a place where they can go, that they can file a complaint if it's bad enough that they want to speak up. Anyway, so I didn't get called on the carpet to HR, but I had to tell my boss about it. And this male employee barely spoke to me for years. And it sucked. He told the story to everybody in the newsroom. And there were a bunch of other guys that wouldn't speak to me. But you know what? At this point in my career, my life, I don't even care. I'm glad I finally had someone that I could go to. I'm glad that I finally got high enough on the totem pole that I didn't have to worry about my job. And so I hope that's the culture that we're in now. I really do. I hope that's what it's like moving forward. The Redskins, sorry, the team in Washington, the first team to be exposed and to make this change. But I hope that even without articles like this for every other sports franchise, I hope it doesn't have to happen that way. But because of the white hot spotlight in Washington, other corporations, whether in sports or out of sports, know, hey, we need to make those changes too if we haven't already. You would think they would have at this point, but if they haven't, now's the time, because you can't get away with it anymore. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. So yes, there's definitely been positive change. And this is just another example of it. This report in the Washington Post. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I welcome your reaction. Also on our Facebook page, though I still can't figure out where the visitor posts are on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up next, Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, MLB Network Radio from San Diego. We'll talk about the latest in baseball. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Minnesota Twins manager Rocco Baldelli. Players are ready. They're getting there. They're actually wanting to play these games and not just put in the time in summer camp, go through the testing. There needs to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We are nearly there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to welcome national baseball writer Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and MLB Network Radio. Man, Scott, with everything that's gone on over the last week, I want to ask you the same question I ask everyone. How confident are you that opening night and that opening day will actually take place?
It's been, Amy, increasing confidence with the fact that, as you say, we're just a week away. I put it this way, I'm, you know, even with numbers spiking in certain states across the country, I think we're close enough now that I do believe we're going to have opening day in baseball. I think the season's going to start, this 60-game sprint. But, you know, I mean, the rest of it we're going to have to see. I mean, my confidence is a lot higher. Let's put it this way, it's a lot higher that we're going to start the season next week than that we'll be playing games in late September or the playoffs will go all the way through in October. I hope they do. That'd be awesome. But this thing just changes so much. And we've seen, you know, you and I were talking a little bit off air. I mean, I'm out in Southern California and everything was on lockdown most of the summer. And then about 3 weeks or a month ago, they opened restaurants, they opened gyms, and that lasted about 3 weeks. And now just this week, they've shut everything down again. So it's just so unpredictable. Everything's a moving target. So I do think we're close enough now that I do believe that we're actually going to have opening day next Thursday and Friday. But, you know, I hope it lasts all the way through October because that would be great for baseball. It would mean good things for the country and for our fellow citizens. You know, it would mean things are headed in the right direction. So fingers crossed, but nervous.
Considering that it was the commissioner, Rob Manfred, at the, you know, at the authority of this agreement that the two sides had in March, he's the one who mandated the number of games and the start date. Does he also have the power ultimately to decide if baseball would need to be shut down? Is that his authority as well?
You know, it ultimately is. My understanding, at least, is that it is. Now, that said, just like him implementing the season, you know, we have to remember it's not an independent commissioner. The commissioner works for the 30 owners. So I think he does, Amy, ultimately have the power if things go south with the coronavirus in this country. He would have the power to shut it down. But I believe that would be in consultation with the owners because, as I said, you know, that's how the season got implemented. You know, the owners wanted to play and, you know, Manfred works for them. So yeah, he will unilaterally make decisions, but as long as those decisions have the backing of the owners.
Scott, we heard some news on Thursday that the World Series champion Nationals aren't even sure they'll be able to start their season at their own stadium. And as we've talked about, that is now a week away. So they're looking at other sites in different places, some of them not even in the same metro area. What do we know about this situation?
Yeah, they're going to have to figure that one out pretty quickly, obviously, because, you know, we're down to the last week. And again, that's where I mentioned, Amy, you know, we get back to moving targets. And I think there are going to be so many moving targets this season with the virus, with different states being hot spots. And then in that particular state, maybe things get better, but then it gets worse in a different state, whatever it is. Baseball is going to have to adjust. You know, that old cliche in baseball, it's a game of adjustments. That's going to take on completely new meaning this year, you know, and it's just going to, people are going to have to be nimble. And you know, we'll see. I suspect the Nationals will be able to play at their home stadium. And you know, for those listening that, you know, maybe aren't 100% comfortable with that, what you're referring to is the District of Columbia mandate that there be no gatherings of whatever it is, more than 100 people or something like that, even without fans. By the time you put two teams in a ballpark, plus coaches, managers, broadcasters, whoever, you know, that puts it over 100. So the Nationals have to get basically dispensation from the District of Columbia for that. I think part of the background of baseball resuming its season is that there have been all kinds of conversations going back to May and June with local government officials, be it in Detroit, in Kansas City, in California, the state of California with the five teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
Manfred, the commissioner's office, and the local teams have been talking with local officials. And I think they're going to get cooperation from local officials who are understanding that even in an area where maybe they don't want a gatherings of more than 100, I think the back channel and the talks with baseball, they understand baseball is a little different because every player is getting tested. They're testing these guys constantly. They've got health protocols in place. One thing that's going to look different when the season starts and the games begin, there's not allowed to be any more than 9 players and 3 coaches in the dugouts at any time.
Wow.
So any one time. So, you know, I mean, for example, the Nationals, that first game, when they come into the dugout, you know, they start the first inning, they're in the field, they come into the dugout. Players who aren't in the game are going to have to be sitting in the stands, you know, social distanced, you know, section or two apart from you. Yeah, it's going to have a really, really funky look. But I think the Nationals, I think they'll end up playing in their stadium, but you're right. They're looking at some of their minor league parks, like even in Fredericksburg, Maryland. You know, their spring training site down in Florida. Toronto was another one,
right?
Because the country of Canada right now, if you come in from the United States, you've got to quarantine for 14 days. So when the Blue Jays are home and the New York Yankees come in, you know, baseball wasn't even sure they'd be able to play in Toronto. They wondered for a bit if the Blue Jays would have to play down at their spring training site in Florida for that, because, you know, I mean, the season's only 60 games. You know, it's 2 months plus. You can't have the Yankees go to Toronto and quarantine for 14 days before the series. You know, I mean, but the Canadian government just gave the Blue Jays a dispensation for that. So, again, moving targets, all kinds of adjustments are going to need to be made as we go.
Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, MLB Network Radio. Hang on, because we just found out on Thursday that there's going to be pumped-in crowd noise from video games. Obviously a big deal. And so we've got a lot more to talk about as we head through these next few minutes. So glad to have you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, different is an understatement. That's Christian Yelich from just a few days ago talking about not having fans in the stands at games. And we're spending a few minutes with Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and MLB Network Radio joining us from San Diego. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Scott, let's talk about that. We just find out that TV networks will be using pumped-in crowd noise. Maybe that part isn't the strange part, but it's going to come from video games, familiar video games like MLB The Show. I guess at least the players will be familiar with what they're hearing.
And some players find it odd. Anthony Rendon of the Angels had a great line last week when the Angels first started working out with pumped-in crowd noise just to get used to it. You know, he said, "I don't like it." And he said, it's like you smell pizza, but you taste a hamburger," okay. You know, which is kind of a funny line. You know, other players, though, like it. They say, you know, that it's just too eerie and too weird when it's they're playing these when they're working out or they're playing these inter-squad games in pure silence. You know, I mean, you can hear what's going on over on the bench. You can hear if the third baseman's talking to the umpire, whatever. But the other thing is that's good. Interesting with pumped-in crowd noise versus real crowd noise is, you know, whether that affects at all any of the players' subconscious. Because, you know, I was talking about a month ago with David Price, who since has opted out with the Dodgers. You know, he won't be playing this year. But, you know, David was saying, you know, that we're talking about the prospect of a season with no fans. And, you know, like he said, you know, the thing is that, you know, people don't realize that's what gets the adrenaline going and fans and crowd noise at certain junctures can take an athlete to a place he can't get to himself. You know, he mentioned, for example, you know, late innings, say you're out there on the mound and it's the seventh inning and you're leading by a run and, you know, the other guys have runners on second and third. And, you know, like Price told me, you know, normally, maybe say you're a pitcher that throws 91 miles an hour average fastball, but yet in key situations, and we see this a lot, key situations late in the game, you know, maybe that your average fastball is 91, but you can reach back and throw 93 or 94 for a short time. And a lot of that is because of the situation of the game, the pressure that's on, and the crowd going crazy. And that's an example he said, which, you know, I think is very apropos in this, that fans can take these elite athletes to places they maybe can't get to on their own. And I don't know, you know, that'll be one of the interesting things to watch as this season unfolds, is whether that crowd noise, pumped in crowd noise, has any kind of effect at all, or if it's just more, you know, for us at home, because in a way, these guys are going to, these stadiums with no fans, they're basically turned into sound stages, right? It's all TV programming.
Yep, for sure. So then you mentioned us at home. Does that mean you don't have any plans of actually seeing games in person? Do you have the option?
that's a good question. I'm sure I will see games in person. But, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. The way the game is covered is going to be different simply because, you know, they're taking I mentioned the health protocols. And they're taking every precaution they can. And as part of that, the players and the people that have to be in the clubhouse and on the field, the umpires, they're all tier one is what they're being called. And then there's a tier two that's like front office members that maybe some of them have access to tier one, some don't. And the media is tier three. So most of the baseball media that covers the game, you know, we're basically quarantined in the press box, and, you know, clubhouses are closed to the media, as you would expect. That's one of the great things about covering baseball is, you know, access, right? And,
right.
And every day you're able to go in that clubhouse. Well, right now, this year, you can't. And we can't even go on the field. So basically, go to the press box, stay in the press box, and then all interviews are conducted over Zoom or over conference calls. So I have not been to the ballpark, strange as it is to say, in the last week since the workouts have started, simply because, you know, without any access, I mean, the Zoom calls, the conference calls, you can do that from home without,
sure,
you know, going to the ballpark. So I'm sure I'll get there. But it's touch and go as in terms of what the procedures are going to be and whether they'll change or not.
Scott Miller with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The baseball itself almost seems secondary, but from who you've talked to and what you've been able to discern, is there some excitement about actually getting back and playing games within the baseball community?
You know, I think there is. I mean, it's a different kind of excitement than usual, simply because it's a guard. I think people I'm talking to, it's a guarded excitement. I mean, I think you know, this is what the players, the managers, the front office people, even the media people, you know, like me, I don't cover any other sport. You know, I've covered baseball for 30 years or so. Everybody, this is what we do. It's what Max Scherzer does. It's what Anthony Rizzo does. It's, you know, it's what Dusty Baker does and us in the media. And so from that perspective, I think people are excited. You know, we love the game, and it's hard to imagine. It's been a difficult summer without baseball. I mean, it's, you know, it's literally April, May, June, the first summer with no major league games since like 1870 or 80, some crazy number like that. Might be 1890, but it was late 1800s. Let's just say that. I mean, this is so unusual. So it'll be really, really good to get baseball back. I mean, you know, my running joke that my wife's heard way too many times is, you know, there's only, I mean, night after night, we've all been home since March. I mean, there's only so much on Netflix you can stream. You know, eventually you wear out, you know. But it'll be nice to have some live, real live games on TV for those of us in the sports world, you know, whether you're on radio or media or just a fan at home that loves the sports. It'd be nice to have live games on. So, but within the industry, yes, there's excitement, but at the same time, you know, people are nervous and nobody wants to get this coronavirus. You know, players have seen teammates test positive for it. And if they're asymptomatic, that's one thing, but you've seen with the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman tested positive and his wife posted on social media that, look, my husband's a guy that never gets sick and this thing has knocked him out. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why his teammate, Nick Markakis, the outfielder for the Braves, opted out for the season, because he saw what happened to Freddie Freeman. And, you know, people are nervous about this, and not to mention for themselves, but, you know, these guys, they don't want to catch the virus and then bring it home to their wife or babies or kids or parents or anything like that. So there's, like I say, definitely some excitement because this is what people do, but guarded, very guarded this year.
The intake testing, the initial round, well, I guess it was more like two rounds, the way they did the testing, produced some really positive results, I thought. The fact that they were below 2% for a positive test rate, and compare that with the other sports, and you're talking about much lower than what we've seen with the other sports. Any idea where they want that number to stay or where they expect that number to stay to continue moving forward?
You know, they're being really, really quiet about that end of it. Because tied in with your question about where they would want that number to stay, a corollary to that question, Amy, is I think what a lot of us wonder, and I don't have an answer to yet, that is, if the baseball tests, if the positive numbers start to increase, is there a percentage of players that would test positive where they would say, okay, we've got to pull the plug on the season? And nobody's gone near that one. You know, I don't know if it's all of a sudden, if say 10% of players or 20% of players, or if you have an outbreak on one team, say the Chicago White Sox, all of a sudden they have 20 players test positive. You know, I don't know. There's been nothing said. I don't know if the White Sox at that point would have to shut it down and, you know, maybe forfeit a weekend's worth of games, or if one team has an outbreak like that, if baseball would consider, we're going to have to put the brakes on things. And they've not said that at all. I think, you know, they're trying to look at things positively and try to manage things right now. So from that perspective, you're right. People internally in the game, people I've talked to in the commissioner's office, people with individual clubs, as nervous as people get, as I just said, when people like Freddie Freeman test positive and go through what he's gone through, the corollary to that is generally in the game, there's a huge feeling of positivity that, as you said, less than 2%. I think they released 2 weeks worth of tests, I think, two Fridays ago and then last Friday. And we'll probably get some more test results at the end of this week. But I think they said as of the second week of testing, you know, they've tested close to 11,000 people in terms of players, staff, managers, coaches, front office people, everybody throughout baseball. And it's down about 1% positive, which really is phenomenal. And, you know, it that lends itself to making you think, well, you know, maybe they can manage this and get through the full season.
Sure. Scott Miller with us here from Bleacher Report, also MLB Network Radio. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So if we put all that aside, which I know is really difficult to do because it casts a very large shadow, but a couple of teams, couple of storylines, Scott, out of the gate that you're excited to follow.
You know, there are a handful, Amy. I think, you know, one thing that when we last convened back in February and March, the interesting thing is everybody, all anybody wanted to talk about was that Houston Astros cheating scandal, right?
Right.
I mean, that's still hanging out there. And I think the Astros are about the only team that maybe are going to be happy there's no fans in the stands, because when they go on the road, all of a sudden that negativity they're not going to face. You know, we'll see. They're still a really talented team. And Dusty Baker, new manager, we'll see what he can do with them, see if the Astros can rise up out of this scandal and win it again. You know, Dusty Baker's new this year, and he's not alone. 10 of the 30 teams have new managers. I find that particularly fascinating, simply because of the time we're in, right?
Right.
I mean, we're in an unprecedented situation, and it's probably more difficult right now to manage through this after the three-month shutdown and try to keep your team together. And, oh, by the way, while that's all going on, 10 of the 30 managers are new this year. So you've got that. You know, you've got, you know, 60-game sprint. It's kind of like opening day is not just opening day, but it's the beginning of the stretch run, basically. You know, I think that's going to cause some flukes, some young teams that are really talented, like Chicago White Sox, this young slugger. They've got Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Lucas Giolito, young players on the White Sox and other clubs. I think, you know, it's almost 60 games, almost like a college season. You know, the grind of 162 that sometimes wears people down, that won't happen this year. So I think as a result, young, talented teams like the White Sox have a puncher's chance to surprise people. And I keep going back to this. I looked up some numbers. As we know, the Los Angeles Dodgers have won 7 National League West titles in a row. Now, if you take all 7 of those seasons, all 7 of those titles, I went back each year and I cut the season off after 60 games just to see what would happen.
Wow.
It was around June 5th or 6th, mm-hmm. roughly. So if you do that, of the Dodgers, 7 straight National League West titles, do you know how many they would have won in those 7 years if the season stopped at 60?
How many?
They would have won 2 titles, not 7, 2. The other 5 years, the San Francisco Giants would have won 2. The Arizona Diamondbacks would have won 2. Colorado Rockies would have won 1. So that's an example to me, I think, of how crazy things could get in a 60-game season.
Which could be fun. If it weren't for everything else going on, this could be kind of a fun aberration. One thing's for sure is we'll never see anything like this ever again. So it's good to talk to you, Scott. Always really great information, and it makes me happy since we've been friends for such a long time. You can find Scott on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL, columnist for Bleacher Report, and also on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Be safe.
You as well, Amy. You stay healthy, and all the listeners out there, same thing. Let's everybody be safe, be healthy, and hopefully we keep our heads down and get through this sooner than later.
Hear, hear. Agreed. Wow, great information with Scott, huh? Whew, a lot to process. Okay, so there are going to be players sitting in the stands. I had not heard that limit on the number of bodies that could physically be in the dugout. So we know that some guys hang out in the bullpen, but not position players and not even all the pitchers. Sometimes they're hanging out in the dugout, but if you're not in the game, I suppose if you're a pitcher, you could go hang out in the bullpen unless they're limiting the number to 9 there as well. And then you're kind of out of luck because when it comes to that too. they're just going to be hanging out in the stands. So there will be actual bodies in the stands. It just won't be fans, at least initially. And then to hear what he had to say about the government stipulations for teams in areas where they're not supposed to have any gatherings over 100 people, or in the case of Toronto, we did find out on Thursday that the Blue Jays will be allowed to host their games at their own venue. But they have to get special permission from the Canadian government. And in the case of the Nationals, he believes that they will, in fact, host their own games at their own stadium, but that they're going to have to get special permission. Do you know why sports teams and leagues get special permission? Because they bring in a lot of dinero. They bring in a lot of money. A lot of it. And so every time I tell you, I feel like a broken record, every time I tell you that sports is not just entertainment, it's not just about the athletes and the owners, though of course they're the ones that are in the spotlight. It's also about the money generated by these teams operating. It's the reason why states were willing to welcome their teams back even before their states were reopened. Oh yeah, come hang out with us. You can use your facilities. We'll take you here. Our general population can't leave their homes yet, but you know, you come back and use your facilities because we want you to feel like you are welcome. Bring your tired, your poor, your hungry, your huddled masses. We'll take you in New York and California and Texas and Florida. Oh yeah. So good stuff with Scott. Hope you enjoyed it. But are you actually excited about baseball?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.